Welcome to EnviroPod, a chance to catch up with all the good things your Department of Public Works and Environmental Services does to maintain and improve the environment in Fairfax County. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco, and on this edition of the podcast, I'm speaking with Rachel Hobbig-Myers, an urban forester with the Urban and Community Forestry Division, and today we're taking a look at the spotted lanternfly, their impact on the county, and what you can do to help. Rachel, welcome to EnviroPod.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. These spotted lanternflies, I've been aware of them for a few years, first through word through DPWES, and then I started noticing nymphs out in western Virginia, and then this past year, they were crawling all over the government center, these big, fully mature spotted lanternflies. What are these things?
Spotted lanternflies are an insect native to other parts of the world that really likes living here, and they appear in very large numbers.
Well, what about here? Do they like so much?
The climate is very similar to their native range, and hundreds of years ago, their preferred host tree, the Tree of Heaven, was actually imported into the United States. So their favorite food is all over the place in our area.
Okay, the Tree of Heaven, I remember those from when I lived in New York City. They grow up through cracks in the sidewalk and become giant trees. I think they're beautiful. So there, I guess there are a lot around here, and these spotted lantern flies love them. How did they get here? What, tell us about, like, when did this happen?
They first came to Virginia in about 2018. They were found near Winchester. So our office has been looking for them since then. And anticipating their arrival, because they were first found in Philadelphia, imported somehow. The egg masses, which are the life stage that's present this time of year, can be stuck anywhere. The insect adheres them to a surface, usually a tree, or fallen things in the woods. And that can be moved, and then the eggs all hatch, and they go about their business.
So what do they do?
Well, mostly they just suck sap out of Tree of Heaven. They also do, like, maple trees. So when we don't have Tree of Heaven, we often have maples. And they really are just bugs living their bug life, but they do cause impacts to humans that people don't really like.
Like what?
Well, mostly they create a very sticky honeydew that in the summer in heavy infestations, it will look like it's raining. And that tends to collect on surfaces and trees and then creates a sooty mold. So if you start seeing things look very black, it persists into the winter, too. I can look around and tell where there are going to be spotted lanternflies because I can see the sooty mold. That also attracts bees, and other molds can grow. There's this squishy, spongy white one that will appear at certain points, and they just generally are uncomfortable to be around for people. They're also very springy and hoppy, and they can scare people.
I noticed, sorry to interrupt you, but I noticed you're just saying springy and hoppy. When I saw them in their nymph phase out in near Harrisonburg a couple of summers ago, they looked like little Japanese toys. I remember my daughters said that, and they did. They're really brightly colored. They almost look enameled. Some of them are black with red spots. Some of them are red with black spots. And when you try and hit them, because they were all over the place, it's like they blip out of reality. They don't even jump. They're just gone.
Yeah.
It's weird. but, okay, so what would you say to someone who said, well, why is this so bad? You have one invasive species killing off another. You have the Tree of Heaven, which was brought here and doesn't really belong here, but it's just a tree, right? And then you have a bug that comes here that doesn't really belong here either, that's kind of eating it. It's one invasive species culling another.
Well, they don't always kill the Tree of Heaven either. they're not a pest that's causing trees to die that would then fall on people and be hazardous. Okay. They really are doing their thing on the plant they're supposed to be feeding on, and we are also here. And it can be very uncomfortable for people. It can, in some cases, ruin the finish on your car or coat your patio and your patio furniture, and then that will grow mold if you do not spend the time. It's not the easiest substance to remove, so it would take a little bit of elbow grease. And generally, it's considered a nuisance.
Okay.
So one thing that we can do, because you touched on a really huge issue with invasives in general, the best way to treat spotted lanternfly is actually to remove Tree of Heaven.
Okay.
So we've been working with the state for many years on this now, and they really only look for Tree of Heaven populations to target their management efforts. Like, they consider certain parts of the state where it doesn't grow as well to be not of as big a concern.
Right. So in a triage sort of sense, they go to where all the Tree of Heaven populations are and try and work there first.
Yeah. I mean, their efforts were more at finding it throughout the state and letting local people know so that they could take action.
Okay. So you mentioned that at this time of year, they're in their larval stage or in their egg stage, mm-hmm. not larval, I'm sorry. And this is I've heard that this is a time of year or a stage of life where they travel a lot. They can travel really far because their eggs can be deposited on things and we don't even recognize them as eggs. Tell us what they look like.
When the eggs are first laid, it's like a shiny gray putty look that's usually longer than and skinnier, about an inch and a half, perhaps long. And then over the winter, the shiny gray part fades away and it looks more like some kind of tan to brown vertical lines that have little segments in them.
It almost looks like a smudge, right? Like a dirt.
Yeah, it does. If there were lichen and other things growing on the trees, you would really not notice them. And the insects can hide them. They're very good at seeking out the underside of something, or if there's a little cavity, it will go in there. As they become more and more common or high in numbers as their populations increase, then they run out of those places to lay the eggs and they will start laying them just on the underside of a branch.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're never going to find them all. I mean.
Right. This is the time of year when humans can move them great distances, but they can't move themselves.
Okay.
So for yourself and your patio and your car, and your children's playset that you don't want bees to be coming to the honeydew all summer, it's a great time of year to go and do an inspection and use a stiff spatula or a plastic putty knife, or some people could even use a credit card if they really needed to squish the eggs and scrape them off. You do have to make sure that you're squishing the eggs, and it's a little bit oozy and gross, but it's not as gross as squishing adult spotted lanternflies.
Oh, yeah.
They have one generation a year, so if you kill the eggs or remove the eggs, you are removing those from a summer of their impacts. Similarly with the nymphs, I'd be happy to come back and do another EnviroPod to explain our vacuuming program, and how, you can use mechanical means like squishing or sucking them up with a shop vac, to remove them. Because pesticides, while you need pesticides in the removal of Tree of Heaven, it doesn't work as well for insects, especially like a spray. Trapping can remove large numbers in an infestation. And there's tons of information in the internet about different kinds of traps that you can use. They do work. Squishing them works. Thankfully, my child, just out of nowhere, sometimes I hear him like, spotted lanternfly. And
yes.
Then I hear the foot. But this time of year, we have a unique opportunity as you're out cleaning up your yard or, you know, sweeping off your stoop, that you can take a look around, especially underneath things. If you see black-ish trees and on the ground, concentrate there and work your way out. And you can save some headache for yourself.
How many potential spotted lantern flies could someone be taking out if they just crush one little clump of spotted lantern fly egg mass that they see? I know you can't give me an exact number.
30 to 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you kill a nymph or an adult that hasn't laid any eggs yet, you could be potentially removing 50 to 150 eggs, because they can lay a few egg masses at times. It's never going to make the problem go away, mm-hmm. because there are so many of them. But it can really make it a more comfortable summer for everyone. There is a caveat that they are highly mobile. So if you take care of your property, you should not expect them all to stay away. They will come from other places.
Okay.
But you are reducing the numbers in general and helping the severity of the problem.
I mean, I know that this kind of subject matter, you indicated this before, it's easy to slip into a doom and gloom sort of, mindset. Mm-hmm. But how could something like this, or how could this in particular, be controlled nationwide? Realistically, is it control? Is it elimination? How could it really be handled? Can it?
The state follows federal recommendations, and long ago they gave up on eradication of this insect. It is now well far west of here, I believe, St. Louis, or farther. And it's something we're just going to have to deal with.
Okay, so from your expert perspective, how long does it take for a new species like this to now just be, it's one of ours now, and it's part of our environment, and it's no longer invasive?
Well, the term invasive relates to whether it evolved in our ecosystem or not.
Okay.
So, and whether it has tendencies to take over the system that it finds itself in. So there may be a lot of plant species that were imported for horticulture or landscaping or all kinds of other things that are here now, uh-huh. that if they don't cause us frustration or harm in some way, might just be considered a non-native. And then when it offends us, it becomes invasive and requires management. And this is a serious issue. For other pests, it might mean that the very large trees that naturally predominate our area are going to become dangerous to us. That they would die, and then we would be at risk of being hurt by them or our house or our car, and so that is a very serious situation. This, thankfully, is not that.
Okay.
It can seem as bad or worse when you have so many of them, and they're just there one day. But are you familiar with brown marmorated stink bugs?
Oh, stink bugs?
Yeah.
Yes.
The brown ones are not native.
Unfortunately, quite familiar.
Yes. Many of us are. Every winter, I find one behind a picture frame when I'm dusting. And it's been standing there all winter, waiting for spring. Literally, they go into diapause and they just find a place to sit.
No way.
And my neighborhood does not have large stink bug populations, but I still find one every winter,
wow.
Somewhere hanging out with my decor. And those were here in very large numbers. All of a sudden, very shocking to people, understandably, I was rather grossed out. I do not like cilantro anymore. Mm-hmm. And now they're just kind of one of those things. We do anticipate that with spotted lanternflies somewhat. We don't really have a means to take care of all of them. We do have lots of ways that you can help yourself. Understanding what the issue is and what the severity is going to be is really kind of key to helping it become just one of those things that we now accept.
So 500 years down the road, let's just say, everything kind of reaches a balance eventually, right? Other trees pop up. The trees of heaven are gone. The fact that they're gone starves out the spotted lantern flies, something up. So in other words, this is like not something to really freak out about. It's just how it works. It's a brand new nuisance. They're kind of large. They're a little nasty. Yep. Tell us about the adults here.
Yeah. Well, the adults are all over social media. They're very attractive with pretty wings and bright red color and black. And they are the biggest, juiciest form of this bug as well. So in order to help people kind of make light of the situation, I have long been saying it's going to be a gross, sticky mess, but it's not going to really hurt us because they don't bite people. The real issue comes from the impacts that they're causing to our environment, mostly through the sooty mold that grows in their honeydew. That can kill plants underneath if it's heavy enough that all of the light is blocked from the leaves. Mm. Usually like your flowers and other smaller things in your garden maybe. And that bees are quite attracted to their honeydew. So you can now buy spotted lanternfly honey because the honeybees will feed on it and it tastes like
that's weird.
It's a smoky honey. I don't know. It's an acquired taste. But I mean,
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah. No, there was a whole blind taste test on NPR. I think it was NPR where they had people try the different honeys. And then they told them at the end what the spotted lanternfly honey was. And one person said they were going to have trust issues after this. That's a really great clip. You should find that. But the issue for people is one of comfort and one of managing, you know, things that they can't control that are going to start happening to their surroundings.
Well, what's the county's strategy?
The best strategy is to remove Tree of Heaven. If you do not have what they love to eat, they will not stay at your party. So our efforts in urban community forestry for the last several years have been a lot of mapping of public properties and actually removing the Tree of Heaven. Mm. So we're systematically working through all public properties to at least not be the bad neighbor and to do what we can to remove an invasive tree species, and hopefully we will have native trees after that in a maybe a repairing system that is healthier for everybody.
You get pushback from the tree people on the Tree of Heaven calling?
Tree of Heaven is a often more reviled invasive and has been for a long time. So I have to admit there was a little bit of excitement in my community when we realized that the best treatment for this insect that we're required to educate people about and monitor and manage where we can is actually to remove this thing that we have long wanted. So from my perspective as a forester, I look at this momentary bug invasion, but the tree did that too on a time scale of trees. evolutionarily, after 150 years or so of living in the United States, there is now a verticillium wilt that has adapted to it. Infect Tree of Heaven. So you do sometimes see a natural control. That only took a century and a half. So, you know, the real crux of our efforts is when things arise to the level of really harming either psychologically, you know, physically, our residents, we will try and help with those situations. So.
I got to say, Rachel, this conversation has made me feel a little bit better, I got to say, about the spotted lanternfly. I don't feel like it's the end of the world. Now I can move on to something else that will end the world. Anything else in the future that you're looking out for in urban and community forestry that's on its way?
Well, there are lots of things of concern. Everyone should take heart that my office goes every year to a conference to learn about all of the new things. And those may or may not show up here. So let's not worry about that. We do have other new things here already that we should be very concerned about, especially beech leaf disease. We maintain an extensive website of all of the insects that we monitor for, whether they're here or not. And people can learn as much as they want about 11 or so different pests that we actively are working on or looking for out of concern about what might be next.
Okay. So before I let you go, what would your call to action be to residents listening?
You have an excellent opportunity this time of year when you're out enjoying the warm days to look around your local environment and squish any and scrape any egg masses that you can. When you start seeing nymphs, get out a shop vac and just know that it's not the end of the world.
All right. Well, that's the best way we've ended an EnviroPod so far. Thank you, Rachel. I really appreciate your coming on the show. And thank you for listening to EnviroPod. If you want to get more information on the Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services and all that it does, go to fairfaxcounty.gov/publicworks or call 703-324-5033, weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on EnviroPod, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.